The following is from Little Rock Church in Little Rock, Arkansas. For more information, visit littlerockchurch.org.
Joshua chapter 3, and we're going to go all the way up to chapter 4, verse 7. Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, 7. And if you're able, out of respect for God and His holy word, if you'd please stand with us. As I read this aloud and you read silently in your Bible, and then I'll pray, and then you can be seated. Starting in verse 1 of Joshua 3. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they sent out from the Shittim, and they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priest, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length," which is about half a mile. "Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed the way before." Then Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua said to the priest, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan." And Joshua said to the people of Israel, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "Here's how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive from you, from before you, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore take 12 men from the tribe of Israel, from each tribe a man, and when the soles of the feet of the priest bearing the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap." So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priest bearing the Ark were dipped into the brink of the water, now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout this time of harvest. The waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those flowing down from the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. And the people passed over the opposite Jericho. Now the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. When the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, 'Take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.'" Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, "Pass on before the Ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, 'What do those stones mean to you?' then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it passed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever." May you be blessed by the reading of the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is your word, and it is pointing us to Jesus Christ. He is the object and substance of our faith. Lord, come what may, help us to hold fast to him, to keep him in view, to keep him in our hearts, to keep him in our minds, that we would resolve ourselves to be disciples of Jesus. Pray all this in his name. For his sake, amen. You may be seated. Have you ever had moments in life where you ask the question, "Uh-oh, what are we going to do?" I think everybody probably has moments in life where we think, uh-oh, what are we going to do? And for me, two moments that just come clearly to mind as I thought about this week was when we found out Deborah was pregnant with both girls. And we think, yeah, we're pregnant. And then we go to the doctor and we start getting all the information of how much a little body costs. And they don't do anything. The medical bills and the clothes and the diapers and the crib and the toys, and all they do is lay there, and everybody goes, aw. There's no production. It's very expensive. And as we started getting in what the doctor wanted, and they wanted everything up front before they would deliver the baby, and I looked at that and said, how in the world, what are we going to do? I didn't know all the details. I didn't know how it was going to work out. It scared me not to know all the details. But here's the thing, as I look back on those experiences, I can see in retrospect how God took care of us all along. I mean, I couldn't see how everything fit together before we went. And maybe you've had those moments in life. Maybe it's something you're facing now. Maybe it's not a financial thing, but it's a task or a problem. And you're looking out in 2018 and you're saying, uh-oh, what in the world are we going to do? You might be anxious or scared and not know what to do next. Maybe for some of you, your car's broken down, your heater's broken down. You don't need one more bill. You're not hoping 2018 comes up all you. You're just hoping for some stability in 2018. We don't need anything else to break. Because if it does, we're going to have that, uh-oh, what are we going to do moment. Well, in our passage this morning, what we find is that the Israelites are in a very real way having their, uh-oh, what are we going to do moment. They're faced with a task that they didn't know all the details. God has commanded them to enter into the promised land. But between them and Canaan stands this river. And they've got to move this nation through the river. And they don't know how they're going to do it. I think it'd be easy for any of them to be scared and anxious. See, what's going on in Joshua 3 is the people have left Israel. This is years after the Ten Commandments and the plagues, and they had to leave, wander in the desert, and now they've come to this place. They're almost to the point where they're able to enter into Canaan. And Canaan is modern-day Israel with some of the land around it. And to do that, they have to cross the River Jordan. Now, at certain times of year, this wouldn't be impossible. In the winter, for instance, when the snow's on the mountain, the Jordan River, I wouldn't want to take a people through it, but it's not the end of the world. But this time of year, the snow has melted on top of the mountains. And all that water, they don't have much rain, so they need that snow on the mountains to melt and to go down into the rivers. And so the Jordan River is not this cute little river, it's a raging river. In fact, the miracle that they need, as one commentator I read said this week, is they need something in the nature of the Red Sea to happen again for all the people to cross the Jordan River at this time of year. No one would want to go in the Jordan River for fear of loss of life. In fact, there was a book that I read a couple years ago, and they made a movie out of it called Into the Wild. Does anyone remember this movie, this book? And it was about a guy by the name of Christopher McCandless, and he kind of had this notion that he just wanted to go live out and live this dream of just into the wild. And so he made his way up to Alaska, and he went to this area, and he had to cross a river to keep going. And the time of year that he first went, the river was kind of small, so he's able to make his way over. Well, he stayed there, and he ate, and it got colder and harder to get food, and so he said, it's time for me to move on. So he tried to go back across the river, if you remember that movie, and this time the river was raging and there was no way for him to get across. That's exactly what's going on here in the book of Joshua chapter 3. This is where they have their what are we going to do moment, which leads me to my first and most likely only point this morning. God allows us to be in places in life like this, where they and we have to learn to trust Him. God allows us to be in places where we have to trust Him, which is usually something we fight because most of us like the details, don't we? I mean, if I trust God, it implies that I don't have to know all the details. Or maybe you're the kind of person, spouses, you ever do this, you trust your spouse, which means you're going to really do it for you. They're going to do it, but as long as they do it my way, I'm going to trust my spouse. Maybe we trust God. I'll trust him as long as I know all the details about how situations are going to work out. That's difficult, because here trust for the Israelite people implies that they don't know, they don't have all the details. They have to trust God more than they trust themselves, which is hard because you and I have a lot of really good ideas, don't we? That's hard. Now, one of the things you might notice when you study this passage of Joshua chapter 3 is there's four speeches given that kind of highlight the narrative for us. The first speech is where the officers address the people. The second speech is where Joshua talks to the people and priest. The third speech is from the Lord to Joshua. And then the fourth speech that rounds it out is when Joshua talks to all the people. And what you find in these speeches is that every little bit, they get a little bit more of the details, but they never get the full picture. In fact, they don't get the full picture until they go down into the water and God does the miracle. In fact, let's look at these speeches just briefly. The first one is in verses 2 through 4. It says the officers talking to the people. At the end of the 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priest, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before." And so the first commandment is from the officers to the people. People, get ready, but stay back far enough that you don't meddle in this business. That's not really what's going on. What's really going on is God is saying, stay back far enough so you can have a full view of what's about to happen. But the first time I read it, that's how I took it, as the Israelites are there and they're supposed to stay about a half mile away from the ark. And the idea is, you're just going to have to trust us. You're just going to have to trust God that this thing's going to take place. Not going to get to know any details. I mean, imagine if you were in this place. We've got to get across the Jordan to obey God. And the command from the people, from the officers, is to follow the ark. Where's the ark going? By the water. Do they know there's not a bridge? Does anybody see a cruise boat? Is anybody going to tender us to the other shore? This is a problem if you think of just as an average person among the people. How's this going to work out? All we're told is to stay away from the ark and watch it and follow. No details. Troubling stuff. If you struggle with trust, this isn't very helpful. Everybody needs to follow, but no one needs to get close enough to get involved. A half mile is too far to give any of your ideas to the people up front, isn't it? I mean, for those of you with kids who act as backseat drivers, we talk about 3 rows of seating, but wouldn't it like 9 rows of seating be cool? I'm going to put the backseat drivers on the 9th row. So when they yell, "Hey, yeah, I'll do it." And I mean, that's kind of what it's like. Follow the ark, but be a half mile back. So if you struggle with trust, that this would be a difficult place to be. Now, the second speech in verses 5 through 6 is this. This is from Joshua to the people and then the priest. Verse 5, "Then Joshua said to the people, 'Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.' And Joshua said to the priest, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people.' So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before people." Now, the second speech is about how everybody is supposed to get ready. So the first speech is, here's your direction. The second speech is, consecrate yourself, which meant that the Israelites were supposed to wash their clothes and have no marital relationships. That's what it meant for them in that day. They're supposed to be ready. There's not supposed to be any distractions among the Israelites as they do this work. Readiness and concentration, but no more details. A command, and then an action, but not details of how this is going to work out. And then we get the third speech in verses 7 through 8. "The Lord said to Joshua, 'Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priest who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan.'" So we get a little bit more. People, Stay back and follow. Everybody, ready yourself. Priest, go down and stand in the river. Now, I don't know about you, but if there's a raging river and someone tells me to go stand, that's not my inclination. What are we going to do? We're going to stand in the raging river. Could it kill us? Maybe. Should we do it? Well, God says so. But doesn't he know that's a bad idea? I mean, do you see the problem of trust that it would be for the people as they're trying to figure this out? And then we get the last speech, starting in verse 9. And Joshua said to the people of Israel, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God." Now, I want to stop here because this is not the main point of the text, but it's worth pointing out that how a godly leader begins. Joshua, he's being installed in replacement of Moses, and he doesn't say, "Listen to me." What does he say? "Listen to the Lord." That's godly leadership. Not for someone to say, "Look at me, look what I'm doing," but for someone like Joshua to say, people of God, listen to the Lord. And it needs to be said over and over again. Loved ones, we have no greater privilege than to have the word of the Lord. It is eternal and true and straight. And at Little Rock Church, we need leaders at every stage when we don't know the details of situations that we're going through to be able to stand up and say, "Listen to the Lord." That's what we need here at Little Rock Church. We need men, women, and children who are people of the word. And then he declares God's word in verses 10 through 12. And Joshua said, "Here's how you should know that the living God is among you and that he will without fail drive you out from the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, and the Shamalamadingdongs. Behold," just seeing if you're paying attention, "behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore, take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each tribe a man, and when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap." Loved ones, what do we do when God leads us to a place where we have to trust him? Because this nation, these people are going to have to cross the river, and God's saying, "Just go to the river. I'm going to take care of it." Well, what do? Well, we remember that just like Joshua, God is working upstream in their lives, isn't he? As he stands there, he causes the water several miles up the road. It says it just stands in a heap. And I would have loved to see that, to see the water stand in the heap, and God made it so that the people could pass through. If he told them at the beginning what he was going to do, I don't know how many of them said, "Yeah, let's just go with that." I think they probably all would have questioned, "You're going to do what?" I mean, build a bridge, okay. Get a boat, okay. You're going to make the water stand up down upstream? What do we do when we're in moments in life where we say, "Uh-oh, what are we going to do? How are we going to get through this?" We need to remember that God is always working. He has never, ever broken a promise to his people. Nor will he allow you, even though he might allow you to be in a situation where you have to trust him, he will never allow you to be in a place where you have to disobey him. If he tells the people they're going to cross the Jordan, guess what's going to happen? They're going to cross the Jordan. Because he's always working upstream. He's always working. We don't have to know all the details to trust him, do we? But we do need to make ourselves ready, just like they made themselves ready. On a side note, Little Rock Church, can I say just how proud I am of you all? As we think about 2018 and 2017 and some of the crisis that we've had over the last year. You know, when a church has a crisis, maybe with the staff or in our youth ministry, something that we've gone through, it is very easy for a group within a church to kind of pull back and say, "You know, I'm just going to wait and see how all this plays out before I invest." And I don't know what's in everybody's heart. I don't know everybody in here, kind of the response. But just from my perspective, I've seen zero of that among our people. When we've been at a similar Jordan River spiritually saying, "What are we going to do?" No one's pulled back and said, you know, we'll just wait and see. I have seen us as a congregation dig in, dive in, because we're going to trust that the Lord works among us. And all God's people said, I'm proud of you all. And by connection, me, because I'm part of you all. No, I'm joking, but I am proud of myself a little bit. I'm proud of the way you all have handled what we've gone through, and that we've had no group of people just kind of, quote unquote, wait to see how all this is going to work out before we obey. The Israelites didn't have all the details, but loved ones, their survival as a group wasn't dependent on them knowing all the details. Their survival and their direction was trusted on the character and strength of our God. And the truth is, in the moments of our lives when we ask, uh-oh, what are we going to do? We need to remember that God is always working upstream. He's not going to allow his people to not obey him. We have to trust him because there's nothing outside of his view. Nothing surprises him and nothing is too big for him. There's no river that is too rough that he cannot let his people pass through. He wasn't worried about the river, was he? And neither should we be worried about the river. He's working in a very real way upstream in the life of Little Rock Church. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, this doesn't mean that everything always works out according to our plans, but it does mean that everything ultimately works out to his glory. And it may not be in this life, but there is not a moment that we go through as a congregation, if we will remain faithful to Jesus Christ, that he'll let it go to waste. He doesn't let any moment of hardship of ours ever go to waste. He will continue the good work in you until the day of Christ Jesus. And the reason I read at the end Joshua 4, 1 through 7 is this scene. After they passed by, they had these memorial stones. Can I have our offering servers come up here? They didn't know this was going to happen. But if you served offering, would you be one to come up here? I've got something for you. With a good attitude. No, I'm teasing. Come on. You don't see everybody's face. If you'll take these and just pass them out. Make sure everybody take a sheet of paper. Can I get some more guys to help? Scott, will you be willing to help? Just ground. Everybody take a sheet of paper. And if you've got a pen, you'll need it. If not, steal your neighbor's. No, don't steal your neighbor's. But borrow is the right word. Borrow your neighbor's pen. We're going to have an exercise here. So I read about these memorial stones in Joshua 4 after they had crossed this Red Sea. And I began to wonder, is there anything that we can do as a church that we could take just a moment of our time as we begin 2018 and say, how can we remember the good work that God is going to do? Because I think we all need memorial stones that help us remember that God is working upstream. And so instead of stones, I gave out post-it notes. And what we're going to do this morning, if you'd like, if this is not something that you're ready to or feel comfortable with, that's certainly okay. But as you take your note, I want you to begin thinking in your mind ways that God has brought you through in your life, and to write that down. And I had some time to think about that, and so I wrote three things that I'm going to put down as we come forward. The first is I thought about kind of our youth ministry here at Little Rock Church. One of the ways that I think God has prepared us all along is that it's not contingent on just one person, is it? But we have like this family idea, this family-based idea of youth ministry. And it has been neat to see the way that some of our volunteers and people have just come together. And so I wrote my first memorial stone is family-based youth ministry. And what we're going to do, we're just going to put these. Oh, no, it's not going to stick. There's no sticky on yours? All right, well, just lay it down. Because I'm really good at planning stuff. Mine stick. Yours don't stick? Huh. Someone's not. No. Okay, so if they don't stick, that's okay. Just lay it down here. We'll make this a memorial stone. The second one that I wrote down says stewardship of Little Rock Church. Now, God willing, we're going to be debt-free in October. And all God's people said, that's unbelievable. And so, well, that's Lord willing. That's what we don't know what tomorrow holds, but that's what we're hoping for. But I am thankful, as we're moving towards that date, of the faithful stewardship of our congregation, of the week in, week out giving above your general offerings, above your general financial giving that you give, that we say, hey, we're dedicated to give this amount in hope to get debt-free, and we'll open up a new ministry. So I put on here stewardship of Little Rock Church, and we can have similar ones. So if you have these, you know, that's okay too. And so hopefully mine will stick. And then the third one that I wrote, which is just a constant for me, I wrote the cross and resurrection. Because there is no better gospel than Jesus Christ. He is the good news for all people everywhere. I love loved ones. I don't know about you, but if it was not for Jesus Christ, I would be in a ditch right now. I absolutely believe that. I'd be doing something awful to someone awful, someplace awful, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. But he redeemed me, and he rescued me, and he adopted me into his family, where I get to live with him forever and ever, and I will see him face to face, all because of Jesus Christ. See, I don't care about a lot of the other stuff that we could do as a church. I mean, all this stuff is fine, but we better never, ever, ever lose this memorial stone, the cross of Jesus Christ. And so that's my third one that I want to put up here. And so what I want to do this morning, as we take communion here in just a moment, and again, if this isn't something that you're comfortable with, or you just can't think of one, that's okay. There's no pressure with that. But as we come and take communion this morning, if you'd be able, just write down what your memorial stone is. And let's build up a memorial stone this morning as a congregation, as we go to take communion, as we think about 2018 and think about how God is not going to, while he may put us in a place we have to trust him, he's not going to put us in a place that he's going to make us disobey him. And when the tough times come, we're going to remember that he is out for our good and his glory. He's always working upstream. And so what we're going to do as we take communion in just a moment is I'm going to have a responsive reading that we're going to go through, and then our ushers are going to come and dismiss the rows. And then when they dismiss you, just heads towards the back and then come down the center aisle. And if you're new to Little Rock Church, there's a couple things you can do. One, you're more than welcome to come and take communion with us. We have an open table. Communion is for anybody who wants to be in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that entails you, then you're certainly invited to come. I read a book this week that said they had two kind of traitors at the Lord's table. The first one, both Peter and Judas were there. And if those two can be there, then any of us can come to the table as well. And so hopefully we're all more like Peter than Judas. But anybody who has ever disobeyed, this table isn't for perfect people. It's for people who want to follow the Lord. And so if that's you, certainly invite you to come. Or if you're not comfortable taking communion, if you just come down. And when you come down, go to either side and just cross your arms. And then the ushers will be able to give you a blessing that says either God loves you or God bless you. And then you can just go on and go back to your seat. And then if you need a gluten-free option, if you need gluten-free bread, we have it over here on the left-hand side. And so as you come down, just put your memorial stone this morning. If it sticks, try and stick it. If not, just lay it down. Either way, we'll be okay. As we head into communion, before we pray, let's say this together, if you'll read the underlined parts. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with the celestial chorus and with all the faithful of every time and place who forever sing glory to your name. Holy, 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 Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let's pray, and then our ushers will come and dismiss our rows. Heavenly Father, thank you for always working upstream. And Lord, as I've thought about this past year and the 2018 and all the challenges we might face, I pray we as a congregation would keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Whether we have any more Jordans to face, I don't know. But Lord, I know we as a congregation will follow you. Help us to that end. And Lord, as we place these memorial stones down front this morning, I pray that we would be reminded of all the ways that you're faithful, work, and continue to work. You are a good God. Faithful and loving forever and ever. For all this in Jesus' name, amen.